On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, the Bills and the Patriots square off again, this time in Foxborough, and the weather report, a wintry mix. Football weather, baby, come on. Week 15 of the NFL season sees us with a couple interesting primetime games. We'll get to those later on. Other than that, week 15 game picks and a recap of Thursday Night Football. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got Justin Tucker. We got CJ Medeiros. We got Adam Wright in the back. I'm Chris Kostich. Glad for you to join us for another Friday episode. Game picks for week 15. And we'll start with our Rooski game of the week, the Bills and the Patriots. And the odds makers for this one currently giving Buffalo the advantage, favored by 1.5 points coming into this game. And well, if you ask anyone on the Patriots, they're saying, good. Let it be that way. Mike Vrabel in a press conference yesterday said, that's why they're odds makers. They're not just people, they're odds makers. And the last time that the Pats were underdogs against the Bills, Drake May. That's all it is. Game picks. Tuck, start with you. What are we thinking about this game?
I think this is going to be relatively close. I think it's going to be a physical game. I heard from you guys the weather forecast is going to call for snow, so I'm very excited about this being like the first snowy game of the season. I think Drake May
a snow
is
game already.
Who was the snow game?
Wasn't it literally just Bills Bengals?
Bills Bengals.
Yes, it was. I forgot. He's right.
Also, I think the Giants Packers game might have been. I don't know.
I forget. Bears Giants had some snow. I know that much.
Yeah.
But like not enough to stick.
Mm-hmm. But this is going to be like the first one in Foxborough. So I'm like, yeah. I think this is going to be a tough one. I think this is going to be a brutal one. I'm not sure Drake May is going to be looking like Drake May as usual because of the weather. I think the Patriots are going to try to rely more on the run game. And I think that the Bills are going to keep it close. I think the Patriots are going to pull this off. I think the Patriots are going to win this one and have a stranglehold over the AFC East. Josh Allen will have a Superman-ish performance, but in the end will fall short. I think he'll turn the ball over once, and I think that will come up crucially down the stretch, and unfortunately, it won't be enough to overcome, and I think the Patriots will do just enough to win in the end.
CJ?
This game is as close to a coin flip as you can get. Now, the thing is, I know I sound like every coping Bills fan about week 5, but it's true. This is a very different Bills team. Josh Allen has been playing borderline lights out. They're angrier. They're hungrier. And hot take, and this hurts me as a Pats fan, I'm leaning towards the Bills. I think it's going to be a classic case of Bills have a kind of been there, done that type of thing. Their back's against the wall. And honestly, I just think they want it more. I genuinely think they want it more, and I think they're just hungrier than New England is. But I think it's going to be a boat race, though. And I don't – and, you know, New England has usually come up on the wrong side of these boat races in recent years. Of course, those were different teams as well, so you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. But – what concerns me, what I think is the X factor, is obviously the weather. Drake May is a warm weather quarterback. And we saw against Tampa that when it was raining for like the first quarter, he struggled immensely. Furthermore, their kicker, you know, special teams, the all-important third phase of the game, is you have a warm weather kicker. Andy Borregales was, I believe, born in Venezuela, went to college in Miami, and I'm not saying like all is lost, but I'm reminded of this reel that the Patriots Instagram page put out. They said, "Oh, what is like? Oh, what temperature do you consider cold?" And they're all like, "Oh, 50, 60." And I saw this, and I said, "Oh, I don't really hope this doesn't come back to bite them." But I'm not thinking the Bills in a rout. I just think this is where experience will win. But it's a very winnable game for New England. And even though I've been doom and gloom so far, I will tell you that it's very winnable. And frankly, I wouldn't be shocked if they did win. It's going to be a coin flip. And I have one more take. If the Patriots win this game and they beat the Bills and by in doing so clinch the AFC East, every allegation of cupcake schedule and every allegation of they haven't beaten anyone and every allegation of they're not legit will officially be dead. They'll all be beaten. And that's pretty much it. Like, all those allegations will die. Of course, snarky Bills fans won't let it happen, but those who know will know.
Andy Borregales, when the weather is under 40 degrees, 6-for-8 from for field goal percentage, 75%, 6-for-6 extra points for weather under 40 degrees. And Drake May is also a dog. I mean, the Pats have literally played the last three games in sub 40 degree weather and like cold weather, and they've still been able to win. Not the prettiest, of course. And this is a point that I've had, many times in the past in terms of Pats probably not looking as great against, say, the Bengals, but they finally got to their bye week. Adam flashed a graphic just now. Mike Vrabel 6-0 after the bye week. And we got Drake motherfucking May. Come on, you shitting me? You shitting me? Give me the Patriots by a billion. How dare these odds makers favor the Bills again? They didn't learn nothing. Snow melts in May. That snow going to be melting in Gillette with Drake May going nuts all over that Bills defense, just like he did the first time around. Diggs, give him 100 yards again. Might as well. Josh Allen, going to be contained, just like he did last time. Now, I will say, like, calming down, I will say that if the Bills do win, I won't be upset. I won't be upset. Like, because you're not expecting to sweep, say, the Bills, for example. You're not expecting to sweep them. I'll even put the Dolphins in that conversation because, like, the Pats have always been really bad on the road in Miami. But especially in this version of the Bills, you're not sweeping the Bills most of the time, unless this was the Brady era, but it's not. So I won't be mad, or I'll be a little disappointed if we lose or if the Pats lose. But other than that, I'll still be happy with where they're at. Because obviously, you know, a win streak isn't supposed to. That's why it's a streak. It's supposed to end at some point. So we'll see what happens on Sunday, but this is going to be an instant classic. I agree with CJ. This is going to be an absolute shootout, I think. And, Josh Allen as well. Yeah, he's been playing pretty good, but he's still making some pretty boneheaded decisions where he's been getting away with quite a few bad plays. Hasn't hurt him too bad, but especially in this rendition of the Patriots, they've been a little bit more keen on capitalizing on mistakes, just like the olden days. Not to the extent of the olden days, of course, but we're getting back to it. Anything else that we wanted to touch on from this game?
I think this game will be really set in the trenches. I think whoever wins the trenches is going to win this game.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially with the run games that both teams have. James Cook on one side, he's besides Josh Allen, he's basically their best offensive player. He really is, because the receivers, half the time that Josh Allen is roaming around or getting sacked, his receivers just don't get open half the time. So it kind of makes it a little bit more impressive with what Josh Allen, or at least the stats he's been able to put up the last few weeks. All right. Step aside for a quick break. When we come back, week 15, game picks. This is the Fumbrewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
All right, let's get into week 15 game picks, starting out with the Chicago Bears taking on the Cleveland Browns. Bears are 7.5-point favorites against Cleveland. And Tuck was telling us before the game, or before we got started up here, it's supposed to be 10 degrees at kickoff, but were you saying it's supposed to be wind chill minus 10?
Yeah, it's supposed to be minus 10 degrees, one of the coldest games in Soldier Field's history.
Ooh,
I was like, I really wanted to watch that game, but it's at 1, and so it's like, damn.
Let's do a quick Google search. Soldier Field history. Let's see. Top 10 coldest games. Minus 12 degrees on December 19th, 2004. Or 12 degrees, minus 7 wind chill. Pardon. So this would be the coldest game. If I'm reading this, yeah. It would be the coldest game. How about that? Good pull, Tuck.
You're welcome.
If we're looking at this game in its entirety, though, this is a get-right game for the Bears. Now, on the other hand, all you have to do is not let Myles Garrett into the backfield more than two times. That's really it. And the NFL posted their stat leader for sacks coming into this week, and Myles Garrett already at 20 sacks on the season. Next close guy has 13. Unbelievable. That is literally better than Lawrence Taylor numbers by a mile. CJ, I would assume that you have the same idea that we're looking at pretty much a get right game here.
Yeah, it's a get right game, but I'm not going to view Cleveland as a mere speed bump either. I don't know what in the fresh hell happened against the Tennessee Titans, but that Browns defense completely collapsed. Myles Garrett, I think, might have had his worst game this season. No, I mean, forget not even getting sacks. He only got like four pressures, I believe. So
he didn't get a sack?
I don't believe he did, not against the Titans.
I swear.
He might have, but I know I saw like he only had like four pressures. So whatever. Sue me. He still had a bad game.
He did have a bad game.
But, of course, PFF will grade him high because I'm pretty sure PFF is vibe-based, but I can't prove it.
He had one sack, overall, two QB hits, and three tackles for loss.
Really? But I saw his pressure rate was bad. Never mind.
You didn't feel his impact is what you're saying.
Yeah, I didn't. You didn't feel the impact. And I did see, like, I saw this thing about how the thing was like, it might have been, like, his worst pressure rate of the year. I don't know. Long story short, yeah, if he can get back on track, I think the Browns can keep it close. I think the Bears win in Soldier Field, but I think it's going to be a lot uglier than what they want. And call me crazy, no one jumped down my throat. Don't sleep on Shador either. That dude absolutely balled out. Granted, it was against the Titans, but we know there is some kind of talent there.
Yeah, I mean, Shador's been playing pretty solid. What do you have last week? 364 yards, three touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, against the Titans, but it's not like he's been playing like in the other games prior before that Titans game. It wasn't like he was playing like some of the worst ball I've ever seen in my life. We're not getting into that category, but it's serviceable. It's serviceable. I mean, we're also talking about a fifth round, first year quarterback. So at this point, you have to treat him like a fifth round, first year quarterback at this rate. Mm-hmm. That's what he is. Tuck.
It might be that time.
Is it perfect timing, Tuck?
It could be perfect timing. This is the chance to see what Shedeur Sanders is made of. This is an extremely cold game. This is going to be rough weather, and this is going to be do or die. If he is able to win against this team, I think going forward, there should be no questions who the starting quarterback for next year's Cleveland Browns should be. I think Shedeur Sanders should be the starting quarterback if he's able to get past this Chicago Bears team. They're a playoff contender. They are a very good defensive team. I think overall, if Shedeur shows his capabilities and the promise that we all see in him, I don't think there should be any question whether or not he should be there next year. I know he has the remaining of this season to be the starter, but I think more often than not, I think it's clear that he should be the starter going forward and be their future for at least next year. But I think this game will be a good indicator for that. I think the running game will be more effective than the passing game because of the weather. I'm not sure the passing is going to be all there for either side. So I think it's just going to be a will of who has the better running game. And I believe with Judkins on Cleveland's side, it might be just a little bit better than DeAndre Swift in the Chicago Bears. And I believe the defense of Cleveland will want to prove something because of the way they played against Tennessee. I think they'll have a huge chip on their shoulder. I think Myles Garrett will be a menace considering the way he played last week. I think all in all, I think Cleveland might actually have an opportunity to pull off the upset here. This actually might be perfect timing. I pick Cleveland in this game. Not to take anything away from Chicago.
I think it's a bit of a crime that you mentioned DeAndre Swift, but you don't mention Kyle Manungai.
Rutgers legend Kyle Manungai.
Who's low-key been taking quite a few reps from DeAndre Swift. But I have another question for you guys, especially since Tuck has the Browns for this week. Say the Browns win this game. Does that kind of more or less save Kevin Stefanski's job?
I don't think it saves his job.
No, probably not. They've made up their mind. Not unless he like wins out, which I don't think they're gonna win out.
I don't think they're getting rid of him just yet. He's on thin ice, buddy, but he's not gone yet.
Yeah. All right. Bengals, Ravens. Bengals are 2.5-point underdogs at home against Baltimore. Tuck, just leave the floor to you, man.
Don't give me hope. Just put me out. Either put me out of my misery or give me a dominant win. It's either one or the other because I can't do close games right now. I said the first time we faced the Bengals, I wanted to go on a safari hunt, but we were getting hunted all damn game. But I digress. The Ravens, we need this one because it's do or die. Literally, so we need to win out in order to have a chance to make the playoffs. So I believe we will win this game because we don't really have much of a choice here. And it will be close because it's always close with Joe Burrow. We can never just outright win. But I think our defense will have a better showing than we did the last time we faced the Bengals. And our offense better have a better showing, even though my right guard sucks. But all in all, I just hope we're able to pull this off. I have no indications of whether or not we can win. This is just 100% faith and 100% vibes. We need this one bad all around, both players and fans. So I think Baltimore is capable of getting this one, but I'm not sure at this point in time.
What if I told you that there's a winter storm warning this weekend in Cincinnati? It's supposed to be 12 degrees, which is also going to feel like 2 degrees at kickoff.
That doesn't make me feel any better. Because Lamar is a warm weather quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I had the Bengals, honestly. The Ravens are in such a bad spot. Lamar's got to be hurt still. Like, he has to be. Unless, like, or Tuck, has he missed a day of practice yet? He's missed a day of practice. What?
He missed.
Today?
Yeah, I believe it's either today or yesterday. He did miss a practice. Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. So what? How many weeks in a row is that now?
Five.
Oh, that's setting it up. It's setting it up for Joe Burrow to go dancing and prancing with T. Higgins.
T. Higgins is out, isn't he?
Possibly, yeah.
Well, he played the rest of the game last week.
Do you think it was the right thing to do, considering?
No.
Probably not. No. That's a good point, though. That is a good point, which just means that Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to have 200 yards again because, sorry, but
you guys 110. Can't stop Ja'Marr Chase. 110. He's not having 200.
Yeah, okay. Higgins was limited at practice on Wednesday. We're currently recording this on Thursday, by the way. T. Higgins, limited at practice on Wednesday, is currently on injury report, listed as questionable.
All right. So real quick, we've taken some time. I just want to go through this. I got the Ravens here. You know, I think, once again, backs against the wall. I just think the Ravens are hungrier than the Bengals, and I just think it's going to be another case of the Ravens want it more. But I will tell you, I'm questioning Joe Burrow right now. I think dude's just glum. He's just down on himself. The vibes in the Bengals are just at an all-time low. And I'll leave you with this Burrow quote. If I want to keep doing this, I have to keep having fun doing it. I've been through a lot. If it's not fun, then what am I doing it for? There's just a lot of things going on right now. That's not a team that's going to win on Sunday. Give me the Ravens.
Does he think it's fun going on in Baltimore at this moment in time? Do you think the vibes are all good here? Do you think Lamar's having fun?
I would say
vibes. Well, Lamar's not going to the media, so we'll never know, will we, Justin?
No. I just, if there was a right guard that was available, please tell me so we can get rid of the one that we have right now. I can't stand watching him play at this moment in time.
I'm going to stop you before you really get on a right guard rant here. Kansas City and the Chargers. Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites at home against LA. And, you know, you got Justin Herbert and company getting a huge win last week against the Eagles on Monday night. Bit of a short week, but now you have yourself a chance to kind of build on that against a vulnerable Chiefs team. A Chiefs team, I may add, if they lose this week, they are eliminated from playoff contention.
Wait, really?
I'm pretty sure I read that right. Because they're at a Adam, please look it up. I know the Patriots, if they win, then they clinch a playoff spot. Anyways, maybe what I just said is completely just not correct. Sorry if that
many such information.
Yeah. But you know, this Chiefs team is dog water right now. There's no way around it. And part of me feels like that the Chargers, if you tell me that they're going to have a little extra juice, if I was on the Chargers right now and you were to tell me this week during practice, hey, you got a chance to knock out the Chiefs this week, I'm ready to run through a brick wall. That's all I need. Adam, you said you have it? Okay. Chiefs loss and a Jaguars win is basically the first scenario and probably the best case, or not best case scenario, but the biggest scenario. With the Texans winning along with the Jaguars? So Texans win and Jaguars win, then the Chiefs are eliminated from playoff contention. I'm fine with the first one. That's probably going to be the biggest one, Adam.
All right.
This is starting to become a great podcasting now. All right. Tuck, your pick for this one.
Between the Chiefs and the Chargers?
Yes.
I trust the Chargers more. Based upon what I saw on Monday night, that defense looks good. And the offense, though abysmal at certain points in the game against the Eagles. I think the offense is good enough to win against this Chiefs defense. I got the Chargers winning this one.
Yeah. I also have the Chargers winning this one. Herbert's fine with the broken hand. It's not bothering them. He's able to go under center and take snaps. He's fine. CJ.
That game against Philly raised so many questions for me. I know you say Herbert's fine, but the offense still looks flat. It looks lifeless. They're moving around down the field like they get to like the 30, and they're scoring field goals, and they should be scoring touchdowns. And I think a lot of it comes down to the fact, once again, it's about that time of year where all the teams on the fringe of losing their division or losing a playoff spot just have like their backs against the wall. They're hungry. They're angry. And a lot of it just comes down to I trust the Kansas City defense more. And until the Chargers show some signs of life with their offense, which is so sporadic, I couldn't tell you if it's alive or dead, I'm going Kansas City in a very, very, wait for it, very ugly game.
Split decision. Nothing better. All right, Giants and Commanders. Giants are 2.5-point favorites at home against the Commies. Marcus Mariota is going to start this week, and you may as well just shut down Jaden Daniels for the rest of the season at this rate. Part of me has this gut feeling that this game could potentially I feel like this game, like if the Commanders lose this game, it could be I feel like Dan Quinn may be in question. Part of me feels that way. Because it's the Giants, divisional rival. They get blown out. I think we start taking some question of Dan Quinn. Granted, this is still a season from hell for Washington. No doubt about it. But we're talking about motivation. Give me Dan Quinn motivating the boys, motivating the Commies to get a win in MetLife this week. CJ.
I'm going with the Giants here. And a lot of it's not because I think they're necessarily a great team. I think they're better than what their record shows. But a lot of it is, like you said, the Commanders, this has just been a season from hell. Everyone who could get hurt did end up getting hurt. And now there are some whispers around Dan Quinn. And the only reason I would even entertain firing him after last season was because he made that stupid decision to put Jaden Daniels in a game when you were already eliminated from the playoffs. Shut him down. You gain nothing from this. But, hey, that's just the Commanders. Was Snyder back in secretly? We may never know. But give me the Giants. You know, they still have some good pieces like Tyrone Tracy, Wandale Robinson. Plus, Jackson Dart, I think, you know, young Bucks going to show the league's oldest team how it's done. Give me the Giants getting it done in MetLife.
Tuck.
I'm liking the weapons that the Giants have. Rondale Moore, Tyrone Tracy, Jackson Dart. I'm just liking everything that they have on the offensive side, compare it to what the Commanders have defensively right now. It is a season from hell for the Commanders. They just look abysmal. Just everything isn't going their way. And I wish Jaden Daniels wasn't going to play the rest of the season, because it's just no point in putting him in danger at this point in time, especially eliminated from the playoffs. And to be honest, I'd be trying to get draft seeding more than anything else. But I know the players are going to try to play to win. So, all in all, I think the Giants are just overall a better team right now. So, I'm picking the Giants.
Giants are currently 2-3 at home. Washington is 1-6 on the road. Next game on the list, the Eagles, 11.5-point favorites against the Raiders. And that's all you need to know.
I was about to say, if the Eagles lose this game, then there's a problem.
Get
and
right
I'll fire the OC right then and there.
This is a get-right game.
Or a trap game.
This ain't no fucking. I mean, yeah, it could be a trap game unless you really think Kenneth Pickett is going to figure out a way to will the Raiders to a win.
Super Bowl champion Kenny Pickett with
Bo Jackson. All right, my apologies. I didn't mean to disrespect the man like that.
He's also playing with Bo Jackson's great nephew, so you know he got a touchdown last game. So that's cute.
True, true. Did you guys know there was a kid named Bo Jackson on Ohio State?
Yes. Running back,
and is a dog.
Straight dog. Yeah. Bro, it's a nice little future.
Yeah. Ohio State, cool players with cool names. I'm like a school up north that's in scandals.
I know you didn't just mention Michigan. I know you didn't just do that.
I did.
Yeah. Well, hey, Michigan, man, what do you want? They ain't been the same since Harbaugh left.
True.
For me, I'm going with Philly. Honestly, I mean, pretty self-explanatory. There's no reason where at the link the Raiders should give them any trouble. But I don't know anymore. Look, they should win, but I don't know anymore because what even is this season for them? Are we sure they didn't secretly lose the Super Bowl and this is some weird Super Bowl hangover? Just what in the seven hells is this? But I will tell you one thing. If Philly loses this game, which I don't think they will, I'm locking in my Eagles pick. If somehow they lose this, if I'm Howie Roseman, I'm saying to Nick Sirianni, I know he's your friend. Like, I understand this, but he is gone. Either you fire him or you go with him.
Yeah. He's got to go if you're losing to the Raiders of all people.
Yeah. But I don't think they will lose to the Raiders. It would be funny, though.
Eagles.
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we get a Kenny Pickett revenge game. Now that would be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just a couple things to, I guess, note. Max Crosby, 5 sacks and 15 tackles for loss in his last 6 games.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. And if we're talking about key matchups, of course, you mentioned the Eagles offense, and that's basically what we're going to be looking at here is the offense against the Raiders defense, because Eagles offense hasn't been there all year. And surprisingly, the Raiders, or maybe not surprisingly, the Raiders defense has been better statistically on defense than they are on offense. So who knows how this is going to go. Eagles have also failed to score more than 21 points in the last 5 games. Keep that in mind. Next game on the list for our game picks, the Jaguars and the Jets. Wow. All right, guess the spread.
Damn it.
Talk about the spread.
Jaguars, the Jets. Jaguars minus 11.5.
Talk.
Jaguars minus 14.5.
Minus 13.5. Damn. Jaguars 13.5 point favorites at home against the Jets. It's turned into the Jaguars division to lose at this point. They're at the top of the AFC South. But the Jets, somehow, some way, they play hard. They get teams to fit sometimes. So you never really know. But I do have the Jaguars winning this game. I'm not going to say if they're going to cover the spread or not, because realistically, that's a lot of points, but they're going to win. Tuck?
Yeah, I got the Jaguars winning this game pretty handedly. I don't think the Jets, despite how good they are on defense, are going to be able to handle that Jacksonville offense right now, who's on a little bit on a roll right now after the way they handled the Colts. I'm liking Jacksonville to win this game, and then just went outright won the division.
CJ?
Jags. The Jets are essentially just dead. They are a dead team. You're already looking forward to next year, and if you lose, you can get, you know, a better pick. I think that's the name of the game here if you're on the Jets.
It is. No, it definitely is. That is for sure.
Thou shalt not ruin thy tank, I believe it says somewhere in the football rule book.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe great Brady Cook will turn out. He'll have himself a game.
Missouri legend Brady Cook? Probably not.
No. No.
He's essentially a Madden-generated quarterback, my man.
Yeah. At least he threw for over 100 yards. Give him that. Because that's been pretty hard to come by for the Jets this year. Texans versus Cardinals. Texans are 9.5-point favorites at home against the Cardinals.
Texans.
It's Texans. I mean, this Texans. Defense. Would you consider the Texans to be the best defense in the league?
Yes.
Ooh.
What do you mean, ooh, yes? That is the best defense.
The Broncos ain't bad. The Broncos are not bad when healthy.
Yeah, and the Texans are still better.
I think that those two are in competition for being the best defense. But if you're telling me right now, I think I might lean towards the Texans, but not by much.
Yeah, I believe that the Texans are the best defense in the league, but obviously the Broncos are. Those are 1-2. Those are 1-2.
Because you got to remember, that offense that the Broncos have is too inconsistent for me. So the Broncos have to keep them. The defense has to keep them.
The Texans' offense, you could argue, is even more inconsistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes either way. I could see each argument, especially for why they're so good.
Also, the thing is, Houston's defense travels. Denver's doesn't. All of Denver's losses have come on the road.
They've only lost twice.
And they're both on the road. Denver's defense puts up their best performances when they're in Mile High, which
that's not
if true. They lose the one seed does not bode well for the playoffs. Like, can you imagine if they make a Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
I digress.
Well, that is the 1 o'clock picks. We're gonna step aside for a break when we come back. Get into the week 15 late afternoon slate. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. And it seems Adam isn't in the back right now where he's supposed to be.
Where the hell did he go?
I don't know.
It looks like it because I can see his hoodie there. Well,
looks like someone else is going to have to do it.
Chris. I guess it's me. All right. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Paul Maruski podcast. Let's get into the week 15 late afternoon slate. Oh, geez. CJ just woke Adam up from quite the slumber. We might need to get this brother on stage here. Oh, goodness.
I'm sorry, Adam. I really am.
Oh, that was great. week 15 late afternoon. We'll start with the Broncos and the Packers. Broncos are 2.5-point underdogs against the Packers. Well, you're just saying it. I mean, friggin' Broncos, their offense is very inconsistent. They're very inconsistent themselves, but the Broncos' defense keeps them alive. But it's Toyota-thon. Guys, it's Toyota-thon. That's all you need. That's all you need to know. That's my pick. Give me the Packers. And I'm going to give this basically almost the same reasoning as I said I wasn't going to be that mad if the Pats lost to the Bills, right? Like, this is a Super Bowl contender. If you're the Broncos, this is a Super Bowl contender, right? And yeah, you've been guns blazing through the season thus far, and that's why you're at 11-2. But you're not supposed to win it's hard to win every single game, especially against really damn good teams like the Packers, especially when they're a team that's hot. Two really good back-to-back wins against divisional opponents. I like the Packers this week on the road. CJ?
That Denver defense is terrifying, especially when they're in Denver. They're undefeated at home. However, it's Toyota-thon, and I got news for you. You ain't beating Jordan Love in Toyota-thon. Give me the Packers. That's literally all the reasoning I need. I think it'll be close, but tis the season, my friends. Tis Toyota-thon.
Yeah, it's Toyota-thon.
It's beginning to look a lot like Toyota-thon, guys.
It is.
The way things are.
Yeah, I didn't think we all would be in agreement on this. I have the Packers as well. I've been liking the way they've been playing from the Lions and then to the Bears. And now they face off against the Denver Broncos. A challenge, but I believe that the Packers offense has been stepping up as of late. I wonder what the reason is. But overall, I like where the team is overall, not just the defense stepping up while the offense figures it out. I believe the offense has figured it out and the defense is playing well. So I think they're looking like the more complete team right now. And so I got the Packers winning this one, but this will be close because this is in Mile High. So this will be a very tough game. So I'm not expecting a very high scoring one, but I do expect it to be fairly close and maybe a little entertaining.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a good game. That's for sure. You know, you mentioned how good the Broncos are at home, undefeated at home. Packers have been pretty good on the road themselves. So, see how this ends up playing out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Next game on the list, the Rams and the Lions. Rams are six-point favorites against the Lions this week. Six-point favorites. And the over on the... the over-under on this one's pretty high as well, if you guys want to take a crack at it.
Over-under 54.5.
On the dot.
Hey, how do you like that?
On the dot. What are we thinking about this game? This, because, you know, Detroit, they're coming off a good win against against the Cowboys. The Rams are a Super Bowl contender, top team in the NFC, really. What are we thinking? Tuck?
Ooh, I'm thinking this is going to be a potential game of the week type of game. I think this is going to be a fairly heated game. I think it's going to be a very back and forth. I think the offenses have the potential to show out. But I believe it's the Rams' time to shine. I believe that they had the first seed and they don't want to give it up so easily. So I think they're going to scratch and claw to get this victory out against a very good Detroit Lions team. I think they have something to prove and to show to the rest of the world and the rest of the NFC. Like, hey, we're head and shoulders the best team in the NFC, and we're not going to give the number one seed away to anyone. And we're not going to let Detroit stop us. So I got the Rams winning this one.
CJ?
Obviously, it's still mathematically possible if they lose, but this is do or die time for Detroit. As it sits right now, you're on the outside looking in, and if you lose, your only hope is that Chicago loses too, because if Chicago wins and you don't, your season's not over, but you're, once again, I use the term functionally eliminated. That's how it would be. I think Detroit's going to come out swinging. I think you're going to see Amon-Ra and Jameer clicking on all cylinders, but I just think the Rams have too much firepower on that offense with Stafford, Williams, Corum, Nacua, and Adams, and I don't trust that Lions secondary at all. Still, they have not figured it out. A little concerning, but what are you going to do? I got the Rams. I think it's going to be an entertaining game. I think it's going to be a boat race, but I think it's going to be a boat race that the Rams win.
I'm going to go with the Lions with the upset on the road this week. Looking at the last few times that the Rams and the Lions have faced off, they've been in Detroit, and Detroit has gotten the upper hand against the Rams the last few times. And, you know, Matt Stafford made his return to Detroit. Now we got Jared Goff making his return to L.A. So give me the Lions in the upset. It's, you know, the Lions have played pretty good against the Rams in recent years. Granted, this isn't the same two teams, but I like the Lions and Dan Campbell keeping the same game plan and getting the job done. All right. Next game on the list, the Saints and the Panthers. Can we agree that there's just no chance, right? There's just no way that the Panthers lose to the Saints again, right? Like coming off a bye, granted, you're on the road, coming off a bye with the potential that the Bucs may just lose tonight. Obviously, we don't know. We're only we're recording this at 4:31 at the moment before the Thursday night game. So anything's possible. And that's why I have the Panthers.
I mean, we see that.
I'm still
I like the Saints Panthers win from last week, but like all good teams, you know, the clock is right twice a day.
You know, the Bucs are a very weird case where just the injuries have caught up. They're just not a very healthy team. The Panthers have a little more health. And if you're the Panthers, the division is within reach. So if Tampa loses, either way, I think there's a fire under them. And I think they get that. And I think they get the win over New Orleans.
Tuck?
I mean, we say that the Panthers should win it. And then all of a sudden, like last week, New Orleans just comes out of nowhere and gets this win. I think the Panthers will win this, but it's like, I wouldn't say there's no chance. I think the Panthers should dominate this game both on both sides of the ball, but just when you think the Saints are out of it, they'll have a game like they did against the Bucs. And it's like, how the hell did they win this game? So it's like, yeah, but I still got the Panthers winning this one.
Yeah, they have to. They just have to. There's no way around it. Niners, Titans.
I got the Niners here. I think just because of what happened last week, I don't think that's indicative of how good the Titans are. I just think it was a bad game from Cleveland. I don't think the 49ers will make the same mistakes Cleveland did. So I think the 49ers will win this one and keep their playoff hopes intact or keep staying in the playoffs.
Niners, I think the Titans showed their potential, but I also think it's a flash in the pan, at least for this season. Like Chuck said, I don't think the Niners are going to make those lapses Cleveland did. So, you know, give me the Niners. I don't really have to think too hard about it.
Yeah, I got the Niners this week as well. They need wins just as much as anyone else at this point. And Titans, they were going to get a win at their second win of the season at any point. It was last week against Cleveland. Are they going to get a third win this year? I don't know, but it's not going to be against San Fran.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And now the big storyline for this week, by the way, Niners 12.5 point favorites at home against the Titans. Seattle taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Seattle 13.5 point favorites at home against the Colts. The Colts down in the dumps. They were a mess. They are a mess. And they decided to call an old hero. And his name is Philip freaking Rivers. 44-year-old grandfather Philip Rivers is here. He is back. And I found a tweet from a day or two ago. Tuesday. The tweet reads, Philip Rivers is back. Patriots have 11 wins. Cowboys are average. Joe Flacco's slinging it. There's drama in Philly. Matt Stafford is a stud. Seahawks defense is nasty. Aaron Rodgers is the 4 seed, and the Browns and Raiders are eliminated. Your childhood ain't over yet. That's right. My childhood ain't over yet. I'm 24, damn it. It ain't over.
It should be over. My God. The Seahawks should win this game. The Indianapolis Colts just got a 44-year-old quarterback that was on the Hall of Fame semifinalist thing to come out of retirement, which means he now has to restart it all over again.
yep,
to come out of retirement to play for them. And I don't know if I like it or not. I think this is a bad idea, but I'm not going to lie. Phillip Rivers can still sling it at 44 years old. I don't know. This actually might turn out to be a game, but I do not trust that. I do not trust Phillip Rivers to be Phillip Rivers of old. I think he wasn't the same even his last go around with the Colts. So I don't think this will be any different. I think the Seahawks will run away with this one, especially with the defense that they have. No contest. I think the Colts lose and Seahawks win. It's
been 1,795 days since Phillip Rivers last took a snap in the NFL. CJ, will the Colts get the upset this week?
No. Let me inform you of something. The Colts actually do have an interesting strategy. It's hope that the entire Seattle defense gets arrested for elder abuse by halftime, because they're going to be smacking old man River around. I tell you what, just that pass rush, those defensive backs. Look, how good do we think Phillip Rivers is going to be now? If he comes out and starts slinging it like the Phillip Rivers of yore, then hey, good for him. Unfortunately, no.
We were talking about the fact that Rivers was running this playbook at the high school that he was coaching at, and
okay, but knowing how to do it and actually doing it are two very different things.
Oh, true, very true.
I got the a lot of it. It's not even the arm; it's the mobility. I think you're just going to be a statue in the pocket, and the Seattle edge rushers are just going to end up probably teeing off on him.
Yeah. Yep. Or who knows? Maybe it's Joe Flacco. Maybe we just get another Joe Flacco.
I just don't understand why they go with Rivers. Was Joe Namath busy? I don't know. Sky's the limit when you don't care.
True. It's true. At that point, just get Dan Marino. Imagine being like Taylor.
No. Get a Ouija board and dig up Johnny Unitas. We're winning that chip one way or another.
Imagine being Taylor Heineke or like, say, Josh Rosen. He's been out of the league for a little bit, but like, say, or any of these guys that are currently a free agent and like maybe under the age of 30 or around the age of 30, and all of a sudden old man Rivers comes back and you're like, I'm right the fuck here, man. Like, give me a chance.
That's what Cam Newton said. He said he was, it felt like a slap in the face. They didn't go after him. It's like, well, no, you don't have an arm anymore. You got legs. You don't have an arm.
Yeah. And like, Rivers had to have shown some sort of arm strength for the Colts to hand him a contract.
Yeah. I need to see this game.
This is going to be crazy to watch. That's for sure.
Yes.
Moving on to our primetime games, Sunday Night Football, Vikings, Cowboys. Will 9 get back-to-back wins against America's team? The Cowgirls?
The Cowboys cannot afford to lose this game. They should not lose this game. If they lose this game, their season is effectively over. So the Cowboys should win this game. The Cowboys will win this game. 9 will look like 9 of old. You know what I'm talking about. And yeah, the Cowboys will decisively get this victory. If not, there's going to be a whole hell of a lot of questions going on in Dallas this offseason.
Yeah, on top of that, Dallas is at 6-6-1. They need to get going on the playoff race right now, because especially in an extremely competitive NFC conference, and the Cowboys currently third spot out from a playoff spot. Vikings, this is their season right here. This is a loss and they're eliminated. That's basically it. But give me the Cowboys. CJ?
I'm going with the Cowboys. I still don't trust J.J. McCarthy. He did have that good game, but now let's see you replicate it. You know, finding the, dare I say, success, you know, game-to-game-wise is cool, but can you sustain it? That's always been the million-dollar question, and I think the answer is no. The one thing I'd say for Dallas is there's a legitimate chance they don't have CeeDee Lamb because he's concussed. You know, he got Tua-fied against the Lions. So unfortunately, that he might not play. I think he hasn't practiced. They said he had some like two more hurdles to clear or something like that. But I'm still going with Dallas here. I just don't trust that offense. If a QB can make Justin Jefferson look bad, then it's actually over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Monday Night Football, Dolphins, Steelers.
The fact that
Party was kind of feeling like going with the Dolphins this week, because this is the typical Mike Tomlin trap game, right? You get a big win against a divisional rival and the Ravens, you know, you head into the next week, you're 3-point favorites against a 6-8 Miami or pardon me, 6-7 Miami Dolphins team. You're 3-point favorites against a 6-7 Dolphins team, and you should win. You're riding a hot wave, and the Dolphins have a really shitty defense. The Dolphins also are coming in on a win streak this week. They've looked really freaking good. Now, is that going to culminate into a good game this week? I don't know. But considering that the Dolphins just won in sub 46 degree weather and going to Pittsburgh for Monday Night Football, I'd say their chances are a little bit better now, especially now that they've shown that they can actually play in the cold. But temperature for the game this week, 22 degrees.
I'm telling you right now, they're not winning that. For me, I never heard 46. I'd always heard that they couldn't win below 40. 46 is the first time I've ever heard this. They still can't win below 40. For that sole reason, give me Pittsburgh. Also, I'm sorry. Like, I keep hearing, oh, Miami's getting hot. It's like, oh, yeah, you're beating a bunch of teams that are outright tanking. What, do you want a medal? So, yeah, give me Pittsburgh. I think the game's going to be ugly, but, yeah.
Yeah, they've won 5 of their last 6, including that 30-13 win against the Bills. Other than that, they played the Falcons, the Commanders, the Saints, and Jets, and they also lost 28-6 to the Ravens.
So, yeah, regardless, sub 30 degrees, yeah, you're not going to wish it were colder, McDaniel. Give me Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm hitting the Mike Tomlin button on this one. Give me the Steelers.
Oh,
just so Tuck can probably be a little bit more depressed, maybe.
Give me the Dolphins. I wish I could just outright say the Steelers will win. I do not trust the Steelers to just just win. For some reason, the Steelers will lose this game. I don't know how. I don't know why. They'll just lose this game for no reason other than to keep the division close between them and the Ravens. I don't know why. I hope they win, because I really want the season to be over with for the Ravens. But I do not expect them to win. I think the Dolphins somehow will get this victory by hook or by crook. I think that for some reason they'll have a good running game for some reason. But I think all in all, I think the Dolphins will just win this game, because of course they'll win this game. And of course the Steelers will lose this game. So I got the Dolphins.
Yeah. That's all right. You'll just be wrong.
I hope I am.
And you know for a fact, you know, you don't trust the Steelers just won. Who did they just win against?
Is that supposed to give me – that doesn't – no. Don't get me started.
Rage, fucking rage.
I can't.
Maybe after Thursday night.
All right. That's our week 15 game picks. We're going to step aside and jump to later tonight for the recap of Thursday Night Football, the Bucs and the Falcons.
Always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
And the Atlanta Falcons get the win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. on a last second field goal, 29-28. How about that? How about that?
How about a kicker actually making a kick for Atlanta?
I was thinking the same because they were just saying they're on their third kicker this season. Zane Gonzalez. How about that? How about that?
Yeah. Thanks, Chris, you mute yourself on the call. How about that?
And sorry, my bad.
I'm sorry. No, but wow. Just, I mean, obviously, let's get the elephant out of the room here. Tampa Bay's playoff hopes just, this wasn't like a haymaker to their playoff hopes, but this was a nut shot.
Yes.
Yeah. They got
they needed this one.
It was down to like what, 55? I saw it on the broadcast.
It went from 80 to like 55. Yeah.
Something to that effect. Yeah. And now, hey, look at Raheem Morris, me mugging the camera like he's not about to get fired. Buddy, you're cooked. Just take the win and move on. But as a whole, yeah, this is in play. The division's in play for Carolina. And if you look at Tampa's schedule, they got to play Carolina twice. I mean, yep. They control their own destiny.
That's so tough. at this moment right here, Carolina does hold the four spot because of Tampa having more losses, but they still have the same wins,
yeah,
but just in percentage. Mm-hmm. Falcons, though, I mean, get eliminated from the playoffs. Kirk Cousins ended up having a pretty good game. Kyle Pitts, legacy game, ended up ruining some people's fantasy playoff hopes already. What a game in general. It looked like that the Bucs had this in hand. Chris Godwin, he actually looked really good in this game. But Atlanta, credit to them, came back playing spoiler. How about it?
I'd be furious if I'm the offense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'd be furious. It's 4th and 14, 3rd and 28, and you guys fumble the bag here.
Yeah. I just honestly, and the defense only has themselves to blame. They could have put the game away. Like, think about it this way. You can literally put the game away. You punch the ball out of Darnell Mooney's hands. There's like four or five Buccaneers players around him. And somehow, some way, you let Mooney recover his own fumble, even though he was outnumbered like 4 or 5 to 1.
Yep.
Like that right there. And honestly, to be fair, if I were the official, I think you could have gone either way. Like, I didn't see a clear recovery. I thought Tampa Bay made contact with the ball first, but whatever. They're going to go with the original ruling regardless. And I've already looking at social media right now, and all I see are coping and seething Buccaneers fans screaming that one Kyle Pitts touchdown, he was out of bounds. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, there was enough evidence to overturn it. That literally says in the rule book, there has to be clear evidence. Just the amount of just pure salt coming out of Tampa could melt all the roads in the north. I mean, can melt all the ice in the roads in the Northeast this winter. So just wow.
I feel no sympathy for Tampa. They had every opportunity to finish this game. Unfortunately, Baker threw an interception. He slightly threw it behind Trey McMillan on that key 3rd and 15, on that 2nd and 15, and then 3rd and 15, he gets sacked. 3rd and 28, they get it to 4th and 14. For some reason, they allow the Falcons to convert. All of a sudden, oh my God, they're about to win this game. If I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I better pray that the Panthers lose this upcoming game that they have. But I don't think they will. And now they have to win out. They have to outright beat the Panthers twice to make it. And I'm not sure they can do it. Not the way that they're constructed right now on defense. They couldn't get pressure on Kirk Cousins until the tail end of the game, and they still couldn't recover the fumble. This is just bad. It's, I think it was like 4 or 5 sacks to 1 sack in total. I think it's 5 sacks to 1. And unfortunately, that's not good enough. That's not going to win you any games, both offensively and defensively. They needed to play better, and they just didn't. Bijan Robinson had a good game. And Unfortunately, he did have that fumble, which then cost the 7 points. But overall, I thought he had a good game despite that. Kyle Pitts, once again, somehow, some way, had a legacy game and just was a beast all night. Kirk Cousins looked like a franchise quarterback tonight, which we all know he's capable of being. If only the Colts had him right now. Just imagine. But I digress. Just congrats to the Falcons. They deserve. They earned this victory. In the Bucs, they got to look themselves in the mirror and be and ask themselves, what type of team are they going to be? They had the division in hand, but due to injuries and self-inflicted wounds, they're now where they are right now. And they have no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah, you know what's even more embarrassing? The fact that, look, Atlanta, you said it's a good win, but make no mistake, the Falcons did everything, and I do mean everything in their power to hand Tampa the game.
Oh, they really did.
They tried.
All right, so here's the thing. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? The Atlanta Falcons had 19 accepted penalties against them for 125 penalty yards. Conversely, the Buccaneers had 4 penalties accepted against them for 25. And Atlanta won. That's what I mean when I say they literally did everything to hand you the game. You know what? I would say good game to Atlanta, but no. They were undisciplined. They were sloppy. They were careless. These silly little slip-ups kept killing their drives. They were handing you the game on a silver platter. They took the little cover off it and said, bon appetit, here you go, enjoy, it is on us. And Tampa said, how do I football again? That's really what happened. Imagine, yeah. You lost to a team that committed 19 penalties and gave up 125 penalty yards. And you lost. Like, just, oh my God, that is.
You know, when I said that, like, Tampa's secondary was bad back when the Pats were about to start playing them, like, I didn't realize how true it was end up going to be coming, especially when you look at the fact that Kirk Cousins threw for 373 yards against this defense, 30 for 44. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
It was a prime Kirk O'Chain's game, man. What do you want?
He's always bound for one big game, and hell, I mean,
it's
now
against the Bucs.
Yeah, it's back-to-back years. It's back-to-back years where Falcons and the Bucs have themselves an all-timer. But hey, what are you going to do? Mike Evans, also first game back, he had himself a day, 6 catches, 132 yards. But all in all, Falcons are eliminated. Bucs in trouble right now. Like I said, Panthers now control the NFC South and are in fourth place in the NFC standings. They have a 57% chance of making the playoffs if they beat the Saints this week. And the Bucs now on the outside looking in, 58% chance right now to make the playoffs. So there's that. All right. Anything else we would like to touch on before we end the show?
Someone has got to investigate the NFL in Vegas. I said this before and I'll say it again, and this totally isn't because I'm a Bucky Irving fantasy owner. Have you noticed that whenever a team gets inside the 10-yard line, like on the offense, the RB2 hawks the touchdown. Zach Charbonnet, Sean Tucker does it, David Montgomery, Ramondre Stevenson, even Jennings in some cases in New England. Like, it's so weird. RB1 gets them inside the red zone, and then they just go RB2 the rest of the way. That is some suspicious shit if I've ever seen it. That is all. I'm just noticing, like, it happens a lot. Especially because my buddy, who's a Seahawks fan, pointed it out to me, and now I see, because, you know, he watches Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker, and now I see it everywhere.
Yeah.
Sounds like you should stop playing fantasy.
Honestly, I really don't enjoy it all that much. I should actually probably stop. All it does is piss me off.
Yeah. I've gotten quite the joy from fantasy football, to say the least.
I've won leagues before. Like, I'm the best team in my league, but at this point, it's likely that I'm going to be like a one and done. I don't know. It's only one. Yeah, it's
whatever. Have faith in your team,
dude. Like, yeah. I don't know. My problem is like overthinking. But either way, all fantasy does like every year stresses me out. Hell, watching just football in general, whether New England's good or bad, always like freaks me out. I don't know. Maybe I should just
you want to talk not about stress. Anymore. Try being the Ravens fan.
Yeah, Tuck. You know, I grew up in Delaware. I grew up around a lot of you Ravens fans, and I don't want to be like you people. You people,
it's not are
mean.
Fun.
You're mean. That's why. Is that why you Ravens fans are awful? And Tuck, I'm going to be brutally honest. You are far and away the like one of two Ravens fans I've met my entire life, and I've known many, many, many of them that are actually nice. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh no, that's not. Okay, well, yeah, you are a nice guy. And Chris, the other one was that one guy I worked with, the Woo Sox, Cam. Those are like the only two Ravens fans I've ever met that I would call genuinely nice people. Is that what you go through in Baltimore? Is that why? Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Again, we live in Baltimore. It's not exactly the nicest place to live. What do you expect?
Actually, you know what? Yeah, that is true. That is true. A lot of
so imagine
you know, you what you have to go through. For you got people firing at paramedics. That's just how it goes in Baltimore.
Imagine living in Baltimore for 6 days out of the week, and on the seventh day, your Ravens fans throughout the whole 60 minutes give you constant panic attacks and heart attacks. It's not enjoyable.
Yeah, fair.
Do you wish you still had Flacco?
No. I'm content with Lamar. Even with Flacco, it wasn't. He gave us some scares. He wasn't safe either.
I don't know if you've ever seen that one Stavros clip. You know the comedian Stavros? He's like a Greek guy.
He's the really fat guy that appeared on
Edelman's podcast, part of my take as well. There's a clip from like part of my take, and
he's got like really long hair and like a mustache.
Yes, right? Yeah, he's Greek. Basically the big thing, and he's a Ravens fan, and they're talking about the Ravens, and he's like, you know, I really like Lamar, or he's talking about people from Baltimore, and he's like, these are the type of people to be like, yeah, you know, I like Lamar, but there's something that I trusted in Flacco.
Sounds like Dundalk, if we're being honest.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with Baltimore, Maryland like that.
Either way, I just want Lamar to win a Super Bowl to shut all that shit down. The fact that Flacco has a Super Bowl and Lamar doesn't hampers him severely, but it's not his fault.
Trust me, Tuck, I want Lamar.
Dude, a lot of it's Harbaugh, too. Harbaugh really hasn't adjusted his scheme all that much from when he had Flacco to when he had Lamar. We just see a few more design QB runs, but that's literally
it. I think it's vastly different. The only different, there's certain things that happen where it's like, please change this, John. It's getting
literally just like checkdowns in the flat to your tight ends. That's literally it. That is the Harbaugh special. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But you know me, Tuck, much like you, I'm a certified Harbaugh hater.
I wish things could change, but unfortunately, I don't know how we can change them right now.
Yep. If you miss the playoffs, fire them.
Again, I'd have to wait 3 more weeks, which again, 20 more days of suffering. I can't go through that right now. Oh no, 4 more games. 4 more games. Another month of this. I'm so excited.
All right, let's wrap up the show.
Let's wrap this up.
That'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fumble Risky Podcast. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 8 a.m. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRisky_podcast. To keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we will see you next week. CJ Medeiros, Justin Tucker, Chris Kostich, over and out.